This is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Stress is now considered the leading contributing factor to disease. Today, you're going to hear life-saving information on how you can combat stress. Also, if you're among the millions of people that take an aspirin a day for your heart, we have some information you need to know. My due diligence partner, Kim Barnouin, and I discuss these topics and more. Chew on This begins now.
It's time for Chew on This, your health and wellness headlines and media propaganda report with Dr. David Friedman and Miss Tell It Like It Is, the author of the Skinny Bitch book series, Kim Barnouin.
According to the American Psychological Association, chronic stress is linked to the six leading causes of death: heart disease, cancer, strokes, accidents, cirrhosis of the liver, and suicide. Chronic stress can affect your brain, thyroid, blood sugar, makes bones brittle, and elevate your bad cholesterol. 80% of all physician office visits are stress-related ailments and complaints. These are very disturbing statistics. I'm getting stressed just reading them. Kim, of all the topics we've covered about preventing and combating disease, all of them combined don't come close to the health detriments of stress. What can we do to combat this ugly monster?
Oh, this is so bad. I cannot believe how many people get affected by stress and how many diseases can happen because of it. There's definitely some good things that people can do. I love meditation. I think it's such a great way. Put on some soothing music, go outside with nature, sit in your bedroom and be quiet for just, 15 minutes a day or even every other day can really just take the edge off sometimes. I find yoga is also another really great way to kind of calm down and, take the edge off and get a little bit of exercise at the same time.
Right. I'll share one anti-stress recommendation that I live by. If you can't change it, don't stress about it. Living by that rule alone has absolutely helped eliminate 80% of the stress in my life, Kim. Think about it. Traffic jams, flight delays, car breaking down, children getting sick, coworkers' attitudes. You can't change these things. Don't let them stress you out. Instead, focus on the things you can change, because that's the stress you can work to eliminate in your life.
That's a great idea, actually, and I try to say that to myself, too. It seems very, easy to say when you're not stressed out, but really you have to remind yourself, is there anything that I can do? Is stress really going to help the outcome? No, I'm sure it isn't. So, stress really isn't going to help you out any, then don't put yourself through that.
Exactly. Especially you, Kim. I mean, you live in California, the road rage capital of the world. I would imagine you witness a lot of stressful people.
Oh, it's crazy. And, sometimes it's entertaining. If you look at it just from like an outsider's point of view, you can see people actually just really getting to their boiling point. And you're thinking, really, really, you want to get upset over this? We're all here. We're all in the same thing together. It's okay. It'll end soon. But yeah, people get really, really crazy about the traffic out here.
Yeah, my thinking is whether it's a traffic jam, slow driver, or maybe somebody's driving too fast, getting upset about something you can't control does nothing to make the other drivers disappear. So why jeopardize your health and let it bother you? If you're stuck in traffic, Kim, what I do is, and none of us like traffic and it bothers us all, but it affects us differently. I put music on. It doesn't bother me at all. Research shows music activates serotonin, which is our happy hormone. It's my number one go-to for stress relief. Do you crank on music? Does that seem to help you?
It's such a good idea. I was, and I was thinking that too. There are certain bands that I listen to that are a little more zen than others, and they just always take me to my happy place. So yeah, I definitely agree. And sometimes I try to do the book on audio. So if I know I'm going to be, traveling somewhere, there's just so much traffic, put it on, enjoy it, and let all my cares just melt away.
There's something to it. It takes your focus away. I think it makes your brain start to think about something else rather than Grandma Kravitz that's in front of you driving 20 miles an hour and it's a one lane road. I'll tell you, in my office, I see the wrath that stress has on patients every day, Kim. I'm talking whether it's a headache, torn rotator cuff, or sciatica. My treatments are absolutely worthless if my patients allow stress to consume them. Stress, I always tell patients, you know, it's like gasoline on a fire when it comes to inflammation in your body. So I ask many of my patients, Kim, to give me a 1 to 10 grade scale on how stressed they are. If they tell me 8 or higher, I have to address this challenge. One thing I recommend to my patients is hot Epsom salt baths. Stress causes acidity in the body. So if you soak in Epsom salts, it reduces the stress by alkalinizing the water, and the heat, Kim, increases circulation and relaxes the muscles. Nobody can be stressed in a hot bath. It just is impossible.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And maybe if you throw in a little bit of dark chocolate in the bath while you're in the bathtub, then I think all will be well.
Definitely, though. On 1 to 10, what's your stress level? I'm curious.
You know what? Right now, I'm only about a 7.
Really? See, I'm higher because of the end of the year, the Christmas season. You know, you got the end of the year taxes. I've got, you know, the holidays, the parties, the wrapping, the shipping. Oh, it's an 11 now, 12. I'm just speaking it. I shouldn't say.
Oh,
I got to
no.
put some music on. Where's my radio? I got to hear some music.
Take a bath. Get your chocolate. You'll be okay.
That's fine. And, you know, you mentioned your yoga and meditation. There's other things like acupuncture. But I do want to mention chiropractic. And if you're having stress out there, folks, have your chiropractor adjust your T9 vertebra. That innervates the adrenal gland, and that's the gland that gets drained when you're dealing with stress. So make sure that you do something like that. And Kim, you know, a lot of people spell stressed backwards, which turns into desserts. They rely on their two buddies, Ben and Jerry. One of the worst things you can do when you're stressed is consume sugar. It creates inflammation in the body, wreaks havoc on your cortisol levels. That's the body's stress hormone. Kim, what's some good stress-relieving foods that people should reach for or add to their diet that actually can help alleviate that stressful monster? Do you have any suggestions?
Well, other than reaching for the sweets, which is really hard to avoid, but if you have the right foods at home and make sure that, you know, you're eating properly, it's really going to help. But one thing I really like is cashews, and just some handfuls of raw cashews. They're really high in zinc, and low levels of zinc actually have been linked to anxiety and depression. And I know that it's just a nice little snack with your good music.
Yeah,
calms you down a little bit, gives you some great vitamins that you need. That's one of my favorites.
True. But, you know, cashews are great, but did you know eating too many of them can actually make you sneeze? Cashew.
Oh, that's so funny.
Cashew. A kid told me that one once. I'm like, I'm going to remember that. I love that little kid.
I love that.
That's cute. Top on my list is blueberries, Kim. They contain antioxidants. They're known as anthocyanins, which actually help sharpen cognition, memory, and our ability to deal with stressors. The vitamin C in blueberries actually been shown to lower blood pressure. Kim, I have a patient. You'll love this. He's 99 years old. He is sharp as a tack. This guy drives. He's just, you would never guess he's 99. I said to him, what's your secret? What's your secret to longevity? He told me that for over 50 years, he's eaten a bowl of blueberries every day for breakfast. Every day.
Oh, gosh. Okay, that's going to be my new go-to breakfast.
That's good. What's another one that you grab when you're stressed or trying to fight it?
Well, I really like oatmeal. Oatmeal is my staple breakfast. Contains complex carbs, and it just causes the brain to produce serotonin, which is your happy, feel-good chemical. And it just has a soothing feeling that just can really help you combat stress. And it's filling, and it's tasty, and it's really great anytime. So oatmeal is one of my go-tos.
Great. We've covered oatmeal. We do want to mention the steel-cut variety is the best, or Irish oatmeal. That's the more nutritious for you and actually healthier, so rather than the crutch. So that's a good one there. Me, one of my biggies is green tea. You know, people say, oh, green tea, it has caffeine. That's going to make me nervous. No, green tea is actually an amino acid in there called theanine. This has been referred to as the bulletproof vest for stress. It literally calms the body down, diminishes anxiety. And research at the University of Illinois did a neat study about a year ago showing that green tea's ability to enhance mental performance was astounding. They did double-blind studies on that. So drink 2 cups a day and watch the stress go away.
I like that. Okay, I definitely like green tea, but I think after hearing that, the blueberries and the green tea are going to be upped in this household.
The one, but you've mentioned the word twice. You might want to delve into that. What's the favorite female stress go-to, which is actually a shocker that it's okay to reach for?
Oh, let's go for some dark chocolate.
Yes.
And it has antioxidants in it, and it does actually activate serotonin. So, but always, you know, we had talked about this, you know, try to go for the dark chocolate. It's so much better, you know, less sugar, and it's actually going to get some of the benefits for you.
Yeah, and dark chocolate contains something called theobromine, which has been shown to help control weight and even lower blood pressure. So people are saying, wait a minute, I thought chocolate was fattening. No, the dark chocolate in small increments, don't do a whole 5 cups of it. Hey, Friedman said it's okay, but there's an ingredient that actually helps control weight. So don't be afraid of chocolate, just the sugary junk that you buy. You want to do the dark stuff, right, Kim?
Oh, absolutely. And Whole Foods has just a whole wall of great, amazing dark chocolate. I'm sure there's plenty of stores in everyone's city, but yeah, they definitely have a nice selection. So I visit that frequently.
Yeah, that's true. One that I want to bring up before we forget is walnuts. You know, it's such a great stress-relieving snack to reach for instead of those comfort foods like potato chips. Here's what's interesting. They contain alpha-linoleic acid and polyphenols, which have been proven to help combat stress, help with memory loss. Researchers at Tufts University found walnuts may even reverse the signs of brain aging. An interesting trivia, I'll tell you, Kim. When I used to teach neurology, walnuts look so much like the cerebrum. I actually was in class once, and I put a walnut on the screen, and I taught the lobes of the brain using a walnut, and none of the students knew the difference.
Oh, that is fascinating.
And it's interesting
There's certain foods that actually mimic parts of the body that were literally specifically meant to help that part of the body.
And at the end I said, by the way, this is a walnut. That's that's not the temporal lobe. That's not the cerebrum.
Wow.
And they
that's
go, what?
Really cool.
Yeah, so it was kind of interesting to that. It really does mimic it. So because of that, it's good for the brain. Keep of that as well. And something you mentioned a lot of that you're a fan of is avocados. Is that one of your go-tos as well?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. You know, it definitely helps block stress in the brain. There's so many great vitamins. There's B vitamins and lutein, beta-carotene, vitamin E. It's just such a great, healthy, all-around go-to. So, you know, and again, I've heard that it's really especially good for women because of the shape, and there's the womb in the middle, and it's really beneficial for women. So
right.
It's another good, helps men as well, but it's another great all-around food to eat.
Definitely. I know we mentioned green tea. I like to drink chai tea while I do Tai Chi. That seems to create my inner balance sometimes and relax me.
Oh, I like that combination.
Tai Chi while I do chai tea. You know, I do have a lot of patients ask me about supplements that combat stress. There's really only one that I really recommend to patients. It's an amino acid called SAMe, S-A-M-E. It's easy to remember. Supplement actually relieves joint pain, so I recommend it to patients for their joints. But a side effect, Kim, is it absolutely combats stress, depression, anxiety, even panic attacks.
Wow, that's amazing. I've seen that in health food stores. That's really good to know.
And it was started out as joints for joints and knees, and people started saying, wow, I feel better. I'm in a better mood. I had insurance person was having some stress. I got her on the SAME. I walked in, and she's whistling on hold. I said, oh, you're on your phone with your husband? She goes, no, I'm on with Medicare. I said, when do you whistle when you're on with Medicare? She says, you know, you're right. Maybe this stuff does work.
Oh, that's such a good thing. That's good to hear.
So I said, about 400 milligrams a day. Take it with food, and it's great. You'll find that at all the health food stores, so that's great. Hey, we have a next topic we can chew on. Next, let's discuss the most widely used over-the-counter drug in the world, aspirin. 44 million healthy Americans take aspirin as a preventative measure to keep from getting heart disease. It's also the most popular pain reliever. But is this little white pill safe? Aspirin thins the blood, which can cause an increase in stroke, bleeding ulcers, and a new study from Europe shows it can lead to vision loss. Kim, what's your opinion on healthy people taking aspirin every day like they do preventative vitamin supplement?
You know, this is a tough one. I, you know, doing some research about it, and I was amazed at the amount of people that take aspirin regularly, and 60% of people ages 65 and older take aspirin at least once a week. You know, I think it's something that is important to talk to your physician right. about, because if there's certain, you know, if there's certain family histories of diseases in your family that you might benefit from it, I think it's probably very helpful. but you also have to think of what it's going to do to your stomach if you're taking it on a regular basis and if you really don't need it. So I think there's definitely, you know, tons of things that it helps with. There's also some things that it might, you know, not be so great for. So I think really weighing out your, you know, the needs and your family history and working with your doctor. And again, you know, if I have a sensitive stomach, so if I'm going to load up on this too much, I really feel it in the long run.
Right. You know, an aspirin, it increases bruising and cuts that won't stop bleeding. So if you schedule a surgery, your doctor's going to tell you right away, stop taking aspirin or he can't operate on you. But what if you need emergency surgery right now and, you know, you take an aspirin every day or you cut yourself? Think about that. I mean, you've been on aspirin, your blood's thinning. And I'll tell you, I have a patient. Interesting that we're bringing this topic. I just got a patient and he's 80 years old. Kim, this guy's nose is bleeding all the time, profusely down. He carried Kleenex and tissue. Found out he's taking 2 or 3 aspirin a day. And I said, why are you taking aspirin? Do you have heart disease? Do you have plaque in your liver? He says, no, I'm healthy. I says, how's your blood pressure? He said, it's fine. Doctor just says to take it. He's been taking it for years. He bruises. You see bruises everywhere. Kim, he's a healthy man. Which was my viewpoint.
No.
And what you're just saying there, if you're healthy and taking an aspirin a day to keep the cardiologist away, the negative effects outweigh the benefits. If you have cardiovascular disease or plaquing of the arteries or blood clotting disorder, and your doctor puts you on a daily aspirin, follow his recommendation. But don't treat aspirin as a daily vitamin. It's medicine, and there's side
effects.
Right.
I think people don't know. They don't realize that. Yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's powerful. It can do a lot to your body. So yeah, make sure if you're just popping it for absolutely no reason, well, maybe rethink that.
Exactly. What's your opinion on white willow bark? That's a popular herbal alternative to aspirin.
Oh no, I've heard really great things about that.
Yeah,
I haven't actually tried it myself, but I've heard people that have great benefits from it.
Yeah, it actually diminishes a lot of the side effects. It's been used back at the time of Hippocrates, 400 BC, and when people chewed on the bark, it reduced their fever and inflammation. So you can still get that at health food stores. It's definitely a safer and more natural alternative to aspirin. Has the same effects, so it's actually a little bit less irritation to the stomach. People can take that, and it won't cause the ulcers that aspirin's been known to. So a lot of good options.
Yeah, that's the problem, is the ulcers. Yeah, I, you know, definitely, if it can affect your stomach that much, you know, I think it's something to say, wow, do I really need to be taking this so often? You know, I don't take it very often. There's only usually a few days out of the month that I absolutely do need it. And really, it's only a couple times, every other month or every month that I actually need it. And
right.
Otherwise, no point.
Yeah, definitely something to think about. So actually, if you need it, take it. But if you're I get people in their 20s that are taking an aspirin just to be healthy. I'm like, what? Why are you doing that? I heard it was healthy. But anyway, we might have time for a quick question from a listener, Kim. This one's from Christine Martin, Sarasota, Florida. Dear Kim and Dr. Friedman, I've heard you both talk about the health risks of dairy. What is the best alternative to cow's milk? Great question, Kim. There's so many options out there. There's coconut, almond, soy, rice, hemp milk. If you had to pick one, what's your favorite go-to when you're avoiding dairy?
In this household, we love almond milk. It's our favorite. It, you know, it's so good. I've been, you know, raised on cow's milk, and just switching to it was so easy for me, and it's such a good flavor, and I bake with it, I cook with it, use it in cereal and tea and coffee, and it's amazing. So that's always my favorite.
I had a feeling you'd pick mine as well, because we're always on the same page. But yeah, I'm a fan of almond milk too. It's chock full of nutrients, including, and here's the word, folks, listen up, calcium. So you're getting calcium from this. See, people always think, we're not going to go through the whole milk, but you don't get calcium from milk. That's another topic we've covered. We'll do it again, but it's not usable. You get it, but it's not used by the body, whereas from almonds it is. And I think it tastes better with cereal and as a cream alternative to coffee. Not a fan of soy milk because it produces estrogen, which can wreak havoc on a man's testosterone levels and has been linked to increased breast cancer in females. So I'm a little leery on the soy. How about you, Kim?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that too. You know, when I first made the transition, that was really what was available because this was such a long time ago and I didn't know about almond milk, but I tried to get used to soy milk and just never really did it for me. And I was so happy when the almond milk became more popular. And also, you know, rice milk, it's not bad either. I bake with it a lot as well, but it's a little more watery because almond milk just has that richness that really gives it the edge.
Exactly. Well, fantastic. Thanks for the question, listener. If you got a question for us, make sure you send us a chew on this at togoodhealthradio.com. And, you know, if you have any questions at all, you want us to cover a topic or chew on it, you can do that as well. And that concludes another edition of Chew on This. We, of course, are your dynamic duo of due diligence here to help you digest the latest headlines. And if your health library does not include Kim's Skinny Bitch series of books, you can find all of them on Amazon.com. Definitely worth putting in your library after you read them, of course. Don't put them on the shelf without reading it. I know a lot of you have books you don't read. Hers are worth the reading part. Just excellent books. You can follow Kim on Twitter at Skinny Bitch. For my daily health tweets, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. You can stay up to date with all of our latest health and wellness segments at TyourGoodHealthRadio.com, iHeartRadio, or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Until next time, stay well.